Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have two wonderful people. They've been on my show before, Alan and Linda Anderson. And if you are animal people, of which I proudly raise my hand, I'm one of those, you're going to enjoy this first part of the show because we're going to be talking with Linda and Alan about a new book that they've put out. Now, they have written, I believe, a total of 12, but this one, oh boy, it will touch your heart. It's titled Dogs and the Women Who Love Them, Extraordinary True Stories of Loyalty, Healing, and Inspiration. Alan and Linda, welcome to the show.
Oh.
Hi.
Well, it's such a delight to have you on again. I had just gotten your New Year newsletter, and you had a charming story in there about a man and his dog. And you have been so dedicated to telling people's stories about animals, and you obviously have your friends. How in the world did this love affair begin that the two of you have been so enthusiastically enjoying for so many years?
Well, we...
Which love affair?
Oh, now that's a good one. Let's see, which one do you want to talk about?
Well, Alan probably wants to talk about one, and I want to talk about another.
That figures.
What could that be, Linda? Well, in the newsletter, this story was about me and Leaf on our little adventure out into the cold, so that was kind of sweet that you mentioned that. And that was nice. He had a great time that day, and I just thoroughly enjoyed watching and being inspired by everything he does.
Mm-hmm.
Linda and I were actually, you know, kind of animal lovers all our lives, but we were trying to figure out something as we were getting, you know, up there where some people might consider to be middle age, and of course we don't.
Mm-hmm.
where we would do something other than our regular paying jobs that would bring more love and inspiration and light to the world that we lived in. We wanted to do something to give back, and we thought and about it, you know, one day when we were walking around the lake with our then dog Taylor, and she was just bringing smiles to everybody's faces as they were walking by. So we thought about, well, maybe we can start sharing some of these incredible stories, or maybe asking people to share their stories and kind of bring it out more and more about how important animals are to people and how they. How their lives improve and how they live their lives because of those special connections.
And Linda, when the two of you decided to embark on this, I think there would be a lot of people out there that would say, oh, my heart goes out to animals. I see ads for the SPCA and the Humane Society and our local shelters, and I just go, oh, I don't know that I can do this. But your stories that you bring out come from a positioning that it's not pushy at all. You really, with each and every one of the books that you've brought out, including this one, it's an attitude of education along with compassion and insightful understandings in the relationships between animals and people. How is it that you were able to develop the newsletter and the writing style that you put out on a regular basis?
That is really a good question because we were just talking about that right before we got on the air about how we were thinking about, you know, the thing that's really different about us and our stories that we publish and that our publisher publishes our books, but that we put together is that we do position it, and it's very deliberate, because we want people to make up their own minds about things. And what we noticed was that there were authors and groups that do a really good job of just, you know, laying it out there on the line and making you feel guilty and, you know, really letting you know what you're doing wrong. And all that kind of thing, and we support them. We, you know, there's a place for that. There's a place for what other authors and other organizations are doing. It's an important place. But we thought, you know, for us, we believed in the power of story, and we just, you know, thought about Jesus' parables and Aesop's fables and these stories throughout history, and we knew that people will forget facts and statistics, but they will remember a good story. And so if we could very carefully develop and select stories for publication that convey the message in a subtle way, but also in an emotionally compelling way, when people are faced with different situations in life having to do with animals, they would remember a story, and it would come back to them, and they would think, you know, I remember this story where so-and-so was in the same situation, and then they did this, and then they did that. And it's really worked out that way.
Mm-hmm. I want to share with my audience a poem about loyalty that you have right in the beginning section of your book. We have our spot. Each night she waits for my say-up, flying weightless into a clump of soft hair, warming my feet up on the couch, flipping into the comfort of old marrieds, content with nearness and routine. I reach down and squeeze her foot. In our secret shake, she eyes me, flops over, sighs. God is nigh. Janice Feringer wrote that little poem. It's out of comfort zone. I think with so many people that when they have a dog, that dog greets them at the front door, hopefully, if they've been treated right, with unbounded love, attention, joy. We have a Scottish Terrier, and little Victor just is so enthusiastic when we come home. It's like, where have you been? My whole life has been waiting for you. I'm so glad to see you. There's this moment of now that they have in their attitude about life, which I think is so very significant. And you have so many really good stories in here. I want to touch on one that I thought was a very powerful one. It's called Miguel's Legacy. And I'd like for you to share that. Who, you know, Linda, did you want to do it? Alan, did you want to talk about this story? And talk about Roseanne Nordstrom, who's out of Chicago, Illinois. This is her story, and it's quite a powerful one.
It really is, and actually we met Roseanne and her husband when we did a book event at Anderson's Bookstore in Chicago. No relation to us, but it was a nice bookstore. And it is such a powerful story because it shows how love creates families. And this is one of the, you know, most unique and unusual creations of a family that you're ever going to read about, because first of all, they adopted their dog Miguel, who's a Newfoundland. They got him from a rescue, and they loved this dog. And so Roseanne would walk the dog near their house, and there was a school nearby. And as she'd walk the dog, sometimes the kids from the school walking to school would want to play with the dog. Well, this dog loved to chase tennis balls, and so occasionally she would say okay, and then the kids would play. Well, one day on the way to, as she was walking the dog, a little group of 8-year-olds, second graders, stopped her, and she noticed this one little boy that she calls Paco in the story, and he was kind of ill-kempt. He looked like he was on his last legs. You know, looked like he'd really been through a lot, and he wanted to play with Miguel. So the little group of boys played through tennis balls for Miguel, and then before it was time to go to school, they said, could we go back to your condo with you and play some more with, because she had revealed that Miguel had 70 tennis balls.
70, oh boy.
Right, so they thought, this will really be fun. And she said she'd never, ever let kids come back with her, even though some had asked. But that day, she just did it. You know, today she doesn't even know why she did it, but she did. So they went back to her house, and the boys played with Miguel until the first school bell rang. And while they were doing that, Paco got interested in her art books. Well, that got her interested because she's thinking, you know, here's a little kid that looks like he's really gone through a lot. He's going to an inner-city school, and he's interested in art books. So to make a long story short, Paco started coming by their house more frequently and wanted to play with Miguel. And she let him most of the time. Sometimes she was busy or tired and she didn't, but most of the time she did. And a relationship formed among them, among Paco and Miguel and Roseanne and her husband Roger. And over the course of time, they eventually, with the permission of Miguel's mother and his aunt, allowed him to start spending more time with them, and they kind of took him under their wing, and they started taking care of him and making sure that he got to school and going to see his teachers, and they even began paying all of his medical expenses and having, you know, lessons for him and everything that, you know, kid would want or need in life. And they never were able to officially adopt him, but he did eventually move in with them. And all this time, he played with Miguel and kind of played out some of his fears of, you know, of things that would happen to him, you know, because in his neighborhood, he had relatives that were being killed in gang wars and all that sort of thing. And and through the course of time, this they all became a family. And the story ends with Paco's daughter, Princess, now being like a granddaughter to them. And they kind of continue the same routine, taking her to lessons and soccer games. And all of this got started because of Miguel. And when she asked Paco, why did you, you know, really want to spend so much time with us and be a family with us? And he said, well, I saw how much you loved your dog, and my grandmother had just died, and I was hoping that you could love me.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Powerful, powerful story. It's just incredible. Bernie Siegel put a quote in your book. He said, dogs are healers. They're enlightened. They seem to have figured out how to live beautifully, so much better than we human have. While we struggle to figure out why we were put here on earth, all a dog wants is to love and be loved. A powerful lesson for us all. Bernie Siegel is quite a guy. Alan, I'd like for you to share the story about Lori and Bo. To me, this is so significant because it's about disabled veterans. I just think that so many men and women have gone through so many horrific experiences in the military, representing us over in different countries and being exposed to tremendous dangers. Lori and Bo's story is a complex one. It has many levels to it, but tell us in a summary of what this is about, because it is wonderful, wonderful reading.
Well, Lori, of course, is very special, and she really has been throughout this whole process. And, you know, this story is an example of what I normally ask, you know, when we were doing our book tour and we were talking to different people about this. I would always ask, why is it that women can do great things and really achieve their goals in life with a canine by their size and not necessarily a fella?
Good question.
It was a good question. But what you said earlier about, was it Victor coming to the door and with such enthusiasm and love, unconditional love, that sort of just touches the surface of that relationship and that special, you can do no wrong and I'm here for you no matter what, and you can, whatever you want to do in life, you know you have me, you know, at your back, whatever you need from me. And it's a beautiful relationship. And Lori, you know, Lori's an example. She adopted or rescued this dog named Bo. And, of course, Bo at the beginning was just a mess. He was afraid of everything. He would run every time there was a noise. He would run off. He would just basically be fearful of everything. And through a lot of love and a lot of beautiful bonding and connection, Bo became her very, very best demonstration dog and service dog. He was just amazing in everything he did. He was so bright, and he did everything perfectly. He was faster than all the other dogs that might go through training. And he was basically became the mascot of what she later created was called an organization called Patriot Paws. It's a nonprofit organization that's near Dallas that trains service dogs for the soldiers coming home that need service dogs from Iraq and Afghanistan. And the best part of it is Bo was such an inspiration that and such a, you know, perfect dog for television that they had him on David Letterman and Animal Planet, and he was featured on Nightly News. And you know, Laurie would always say, I come in with the dog and I'm sort of ignored. He's the star. But mm-hmm. he brought attention to Patriot Paws and brought the kind of support that she needed in order for it to be really successful and to truly help the veterans coming home. One other thing that she did, which is truly amazing because it's changing people's lives, is she began going to prisons and asking the prison system to let the female prisoners train the dogs. And with that, they would train the dogs to be able to be service dogs. And these, a lot of these are rescues that they're coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq. And when their families and when their families would come visit the women, it's a whole different viewpoint. All of a sudden, there was optimism about the future. There was something that they did correctly and right. Mm-hmm. Everything about the program was just so such a healing and so full of love and support. She's just amazing. And she did it with Bo at her side. She really did the whole program with that inspiration.
That's incredible. And, of course, she founded the PAWS organization, which is just absolutely amazing. And veterans will work with these animals. It's just, you know, one person can make a difference. And she is a good example. Not that all of them in your book are not good examples, but specifically her orientation and how she was open to new concepts and ideas, things that were not necessarily in her comfort zone, but she was willing to explore them. And I think that there's just so many variables in these stories that you share in your book, Dogs and the Women Who Love Them, that really makes it very special and magical. I am very partial to terriers. Of course, I love all dogs anyway, but I love terriers because of their spunk and their independent personalities. And you have got this adorable dachshund here that ended up having to be in a wheelchair. And you've got to tell the story of this absolute adorable character, Frankie.
Well, Frankie, she really is adorable. We met her a few years ago and got to know Barbara Teckel, who had Frankie, has and still does. And Frankie is a dachshund, and as it turns out, they're kind of prone to having some problems, I guess, because of the length of their body or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so the dog wound up becoming paralyzed. And most people would have given up on Frankie because taking care of a paralyzed dog is a whole lot of extra work. And then, you know, you wonder, is the dog going to be suffering and all that sort of thing. But Barbara was looking for something in her life. She knew she had a purpose, but she didn't know what it was yet. And she thought maybe, you know, she was doing therapy, animal-assisted therapy with one of her dogs, and thought maybe she'd write about that. But then when this happened with Frankie, she found out about doggy wheelchairs, and she got a doggy wheelchair for her and did all the things that she had to do, which is very, very time-consuming to take care of a paralyzed dog. And anyway, she decided that she would start taking Frankie to schools. And the children just really deeply responded to Frankie because the message was that it was okay to be different. And because they loved Frankie, she was so cute and sweet and fun and running around with her wheelchair and doing everything she wanted to do, but, you know, having this really severe disability. And so she wound up now, she has written two children's books, award-winning children's books, and she does a curriculum on Skype where schools from all over the country, classrooms, call in, and then she does a presentation with Frankie so that children all over the country now can see what Frankie is capable of doing and ask questions and talk with her and get that beautiful message that it's okay to be different.
Incredible story. Now, we've got a mutt in here whose name is Maxine that was bought for $2, and she is adorable. What a perky. You've got photos in your book, too. But Maxine, when I first started reading the story before I saw the photo, I thought she was just going to be this little tiny squirt of a dog. But Maxine is a good-sized dog.
She is, yes.
Now, what kind of a dog is Maxine?
If I remember correctly, she was a mix. Trying to remember. Linda, do you remember the kind?
I'm looking, but I can't remember right offhand. I know, a Sheltie mix.
Yes, a mix.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. The photo of her in here. Mm-hmm. She's just absolutely beautiful. And tell Maxine's story, Alan, because this has, again, every one of your stories has multiple levels to it. I mean, this one is just amazing, how she came by the dog. Share it with us.
Well, she basically gave... you know, basically gave a woman on that was hawking crack on the street $2 for the Sheltie mix and brought her home. And basically, they adored each other. Maxine would follow her everywhere. She knew that Deborah saved her from a very, very hard life. And she got the best food, and she was everyone's friend. And she basically was always there for Deborah through all the different days, and she would throw herself against the door to keep Deborah from going to work and everything. And it was just a relationship that you know how it is when sometimes a dog just wants to be your skin.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really want to even think of themselves as an individual. They just want to be with you all the time. And this is the
right
relationship she had with Maxine. It was mm-hmm. absolutely beautiful. The thing is with that, though, you know, Deborah was a very active woman. She ran in marathons. She had a very active and dynamic life. And one day there was during one of her jogs, she was hit by a car, and she was rendered unconscious. The dog, Maxine, was okay and refused to leave her side. But after, through the process, her friends were caring for Maxine when Deborah went to the hospital, and she was hospitalized for quite a while. And they snuck Maxine at one point to see Deborah, but Deborah, of course, did not remember anything. Her friends told her that she didn't remember anything other than she knew the name Maxine, so there was that bond even when mm-hmm. Deborah was in her recovery. Well, after a couple months, she got home, and she was no longer that young, vibrant, energetic, athletic woman that, you know, ran these marathons and did incredible things that in her life. She really became depressed, and I guess any of us that were going through amazing challenges like that would have that reaction. It's very, very hard to move from one lifestyle to another. But guess who helped her? Guess
yep.
who helped her through the worst depression and the life without meaning? It was Maxine.
Mm-hmm.
Nosing her out of bed each day, making sure Deborah got up. And after a while, Deborah realized she had just let go of her anger and realized she did have a purpose. And one of the main purposes, at least in the beginning, was that Maxine needed her. So it was just a beautiful story of what a dog can be through the best and the worst of times.
Well, and I love the humor that Deborah shares, because she found out very quickly that Maxine snored. And
that just
cracked me up. She didn't need a husband. She just she had a dog that would follow the patterns that would just be right there.
Oh, that's true, isn't it?
Yes, but I loved the situation when she took Maxine to church. It was the Cathedral Church of St. John the Divine in New York City, and it was the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi. And she expected Maxine to sit quietly, but Maxine wanted to play with all of these other critters that were around there. And then as soon as the choir would start singing, so did Maxine. And I thought, that's my kind of environment. I like that. The dog singing along with the choir. But instead, she was so embarrassed, but the dog added so much, and people just smiled. Nobody got upset. Nobody got their nose bent out of joint. Maxine was just right there, just doing her thing, and people were happy. It was just, and I thought, what a phenomenal, phenomenal experience. And like you said, with Maxine, Deborah had a chance to be able to live a life, but her purpose focused on the dog, and then she went from there. And I know that her dog ended up, Maxine ended up passing away, and that's a beautiful, beautiful story that's there as well. These stories of yours really touch the heart. And they touch the heart because you realize that you're sharing the planet with these beautiful, beautiful creatures. And they really don't want that much from you. But they give a purpose. And this goes back millions of years. I mean, the relationship of dogs and human beings has been around forever. And it's a phenomena that often it's very distressing to me when I hear stories about abuse or with any living creature where people will willfully, you know, harm creatures, when you see how much good that they do and they give, and you've got a wonderful poem by Josephine Preston Peabody that's to a dog, and this is how it reads: "You shaggy loveliness, what call was it? What dream beyond a guess lured you gray ages back from that lone bivouac of the wild pack? Was it your need or ours? The calling trail of faith that should not fail, of hope dim understood, that you should follow our poor humanhood only because you would." And it's really heartwarming. It's really heartwarming. Now, the two of you, are you still involved in taking in rescue dogs? I know you have your own family. What's your animal family? What have you got around you at this time?
Well, we have our dog, Leaf, who we write about extensively.
Mm-hmm.
When people say they have never seen so many photos of a dog on Facebook.
Yeah, if you want to see 37,000 photos of Leaf.
Oh, my goodness.
So he's a little black Cocker Spaniel. And then we have two rescued cats, Speedy and Cuddles. And then we have our bird, our cockatiel, Sunshine. So we have quite a little family here.
Yes, you do. One of the other stories that you have in here, and I won't go into it because we don't have the time available to do it, but when you read about a dog, very few people realize that dogs love to chew. And so if you're bringing an animal into your home, you better have it dog-proofed. I call it puppy-proofing a house. And you have a story in here about a dog named Lady. She had been abused. She was a female boxer, beautiful colors. She was almost a year old. That's still a puppy. And Virginia took her home. And within 24 hours, Lady had chewed through her leather sofa, destroyed her favorite pair of heels. Gee, I have a memory like that. And proved she was not housebroken. Whoopee! I mean, that just really excites somebody. They're going to hear that. They're going to go, oh, my Lord, who'd want to keep that dog? But Lady was a wonderful dog, and she had to know that she was wanted and she was loved. And the story is absolutely phenomenal. I just think your book is terrific. How can people, first of all, get your newsletter? Because you have a wonderful newsletter about animals. And then I know the book is in all the bookstores. But you've just put out a request for animal stories. Why don't you tell my audience what you would like for people to send you?
Well, we're working on the next book, which is about animals helping to heal and comfort children. And so, you know, we've been collecting those kind of stories from people to, you know, be able to see which ones might work with this next book. And as far as getting our newsletter, all people have to do is go to angelanimals.net. And they can click on any of the little click-through things and sign up to receive the newsletter. It's free, and they get it every week, and it's very uplifting for people.
Well, I can tell you that Linda and Alan Anderson, they have put out, I believe it's 12 books. Is this number 13 or is this number 12?
I think, kind of lose track. But I think it's either 13. We're actually working on our 14th book now.
Okay, so this is number 13. So what you've got are just some wonderful books that you'd love to have in your library if you love animals and of all kinds, as I do. They've got books on horses. They've got them on cats and all kinds of wonderful, wonderful stories, all of them real and all of them true. This is the latest, Dogs and the Women Who Love Them. If you wanted to get a gift for somebody that is an animal lover, this would be a wonderful book to give. And don't forget their website, angelanimals.net. They have a wonderful newsletter that you will get, and it's free. And, boy, there's just so many fun things that people share with them, and they pass it right along to you. Linda and Alan, thank you so much for being my guest today. I wish you continued success, and congratulations on another good book.
Well, thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for a moment. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away. More good things to share. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. 888-815-9756 is the toll-free worldwide toll-free telephone number if you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight for this new year of 2011. Boy, the year just has evolved in just an absolutely amazing way. Today I did an interview for a radio broadcast in London before I came on air, and it was just amazing, and it's going to be broadcast eventually, and I'll be sure and let you know where you can find out about it. And my newsletter did go out over the weekend. Regrettably, I had some computer gnomes of some kind that got into my system, so I haven't been able to post yet on BBS. We don't know what has corrupted my ability of getting in to listing on BBS, but something's gone wrong with my system. So, regrettably, you're not going to have the listing of the guests yet. So I've got to make some calls into the repair people to find out what may have gone wacko. So anyway, quickly, and I know we've got a caller on the line, I want to let you know who's coming on tomorrow. Now, the information is listed in my newsletter, but not the details. But it's Sexual Outlaw, Erotic Mystic. Now, the author is Vera Chappell, I mispronounced his name. This is the most amazing story about a woman in the 1800s who set a platform for female independence in this country. And the story is mind-boggling. I'm telling you, I had no idea about this woman. As so often it is with history, we don't know about the people that made major sacrifices so that people in the future can enjoy their freedom. So that is what's coming up tomorrow. And if you can, be sure you listen and tell your friends, because it is an awesome, awesome story. And we'll be talking about that, and I've got some other things that I want to share with you. But again, if you missed my newsletter, go to my website, DelphiInternational.com. It will be on by tomorrow with the holiday, with the New Year's holiday and all of that. It's been sort of pandemonium, but all of that will pass. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi there. My first name is Stephen, and I'm calling from New Brunswick, Canada, East Coast.
Oh, Stephen, welcome. I'm so glad you are able to join us today. All right, let's get down to business with you. The first thing that I am noticing, Stephen, right off the bat is you've got too many items in your planner. I'll use that description. And it's as if you have come into the new year with so many things that need to be accomplished. I feel like I'm looking at all kinds of lists in my head when I'm focusing on you. You're going to need to clean it up a bit. I would like to encourage you to do something very simple, and that is to itemize things out as clearly as you can. And then pick maybe three, no more than six, out of this long list. Call it a to-do list for nothing else. And look at what you would prioritize. Work it down to six out of the batch, and then narrow it down to three. And keep your focus on those three perspectives. Otherwise, what you're going to find is that you are just going to be running, scurrying. Your mind is going to be going in 10,000 different directions. And I'm seeing you by the month of June just sitting down and going, I haven't accomplished anything. I'm a failure. You're going to be really hard on yourself. You're very, very self-critical. And I don't want you to do that to yourself. So pick, narrow things down where you get to three areas of focus. Keep that focus in front of you. If you have to put little signs on your bathroom mirror or have little cards and say, this is what I'm focusing on. Eventually, what you'll find is that when you review your long, involved list, little by little, you'll be able to fold different aspects of that into what you really want to do. That is how you want to work it. It is so important to keep your focus because the first quarter of this year is going to go by so fast that if you don't do that, you're going to get very, very frustrated. And I don't want you to have that sense of disappointment by June. There is an area of education that is very important for you to pursue. It's a specialty area of interest, and it requires an apprenticeship with mentors and actual working environments so that you refine your skills. Let me use the example of being a good chef, for example. Let's say you wanted to be a bakery chef more than anything else in the world. Well, you need to learn the basics of good culinary practices, and then you would need to be in an environment where you could be that apprentice doing all the grubby work and refining your skills and techniques until you reached a point where you could say, I want to be a specialist in puff pastries, or I want to do this. But it's getting a good base. Now, this could apply to any area of industry. I just use the image of chef as an example again. But I want you to be aware of this. This commitment is mandatory for you to reach that level of economic excellence that is so important to you. So I want you to have faith in yourself, be a little bit more organized, and be disciplined. It's not a bad word. It's going to serve you well. And I think you will enjoy the success that you're aiming for, and you'll receive it in a timely way. So don't be impatient with small beginnings. Do you have a question for me, Stephen?
Yeah, thank you for that. I'll just acknowledge kind of what you said. Actually, I'm in this first quarter of the year, I'm writing a master's thesis. So it certainly requires a lot of discipline. My question is, prior to beginning this master's thesis, I gave up a pretty good job, and that was... That means I've gone back into a student life, and I'm looking towards doing a PhD, which means another 3 years of basically, well, let's just say, I guess I'm asking about finances, because this path makes a financial living quite a bit more difficult, although it's a path I want to go on. Mm-hmm. I know that's not really a question, but...
No, I understand what you're really wanting to ask me. And I think that's why the information about the focusing was so important, because dealing with the reality of financial flow is something that you have to look at. And may I ask what your focus is in your education? what environment are you wanting to work into?
I study, my expertise are in computer sciences.
Mm-hmm. And is that where you're getting your PhD eventually?
Well, I hope to, yes.
All right. Let me encourage you to give a consideration to something. And that is, because of the apprenticeship level that I'm seeing you needing to apply for, I would say take a different view. Look at the fact that if you're wanting to get a PhD, you want to be in a working environment that will be the basis for your PhD. So I would keep my mind and attitudes open, go through and do what you need to do to get your master's done. Get that done. Focus on that. When you have the opportunity, look at the environment, the company that you would like to align yourself with. Ask to speak to someone in personnel and think about what you would like to have as your major, you know, the PhD, what it is that you're going for, and see if they will consider having you maybe as a part-time worker in a way that allows you to utilize the information regarding technology, applications. Maybe you want to become a specialist in manufacturing. Let's use that angle. Well, manufacturing is very different from certain other working environments. So to understand the applications of technology and how to work with them efficiently and what you need to do and so on and so forth, you actually should be in that working environment, and you could use that as the basis of your material. And it would save you time. You may not make a whole bunch of money, but what you would find is that you might have a job waiting for you when you finish. Am I making sense?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I may have the opportunity to do something like that. I think long term I'd like to have my own company based on the research I do, but that would certainly be good preparation for me.
I think so. And also, what I'd encourage you to do is something else. Look at those people that you find yourself keeping company with. Interview them. Find out about the challenges they go through. What are the greatest frustrations they have to deal with? Economy is always going to be something you deal with. It goes up and it goes down. That is always the case. But keeping up with technology, how do you hire staff? What do you do when you do get staff? How do you go through training? How can you be cost-effective and efficient in what you utilize? Because technology is extremely valuable in manufacturing today. What about the people equation? So there's a lot of questions that you can ask and do research on. Get to know different peoples with different companies that maybe are suppliers to the company that you might have a part-time job with. Tell them what you're wanting to do, that you're wanting to educate yourself. So they will have someone that maybe works on a part-time basis. You may not get, you know, $150,000 a year income, but that's not the point. You'll have a generation of income that will be coming to you. Plus, you can develop rapport and association with people that you can respect if they earn that respect, and that will be mentors to you in a way that will help you set up for your own business. I wish
Absolutely,
you well.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
You are more than welcome. It's been my pleasure. It's a delight having you on the show, and Happy New Year to you. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. When we come back, you'll have the opportunity to chat with me as well, if you so desire. 888-815-9756. Ooh, I've got the astrological 2011 New Year horoscope. This is a real briefie. So if we have some time, I'll be sharing that with you. And we've only gotten one of the signs. I talked about Aries last week. So we've got all the 11 left to go. So I'll be talking about that when we come back. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. rawenergyradio.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Now, as I said, my newsletter went out over the weekend. And by the way, I realized I did not include an upcoming guest. Her name is Rio, and she is really knowledgeable about raw foods. And Rio is going to be on with me twice this month. She's going to be on the 12th as well as the 26th. So I want to be sure and let you all know about it in addition to another guest that we will be having. But if you want to know about the guests coming up, because I've got some kind of a computer glitch that's not enabling me to get into the BBS system so I can list all the guests and give you a brief description as I normally do every month. Some reason I've got some kind of interference. So as soon as I can get that cleared up, then you'll be able to find all the listings. Meanwhile, tomorrow, we're going to be talking about Sexual Outlaw Erotic Mystic by Vera Chappelle, who is just a phenomenal writer. I really enjoyed this book tremendously, and I think you will enjoy the story of this woman, too. But you'll have a listing of the guests without description that's in the newsletter. You'll see the titles of the publications and my top three recommendations for the month. So go in. And tomorrow, everything will be up on the website, and that's DelphiInternational.com, DelphiInternational.com, and you'll find the information there tomorrow. Okay, for those of you under the astrological sign of Taurus, yes, you're rather bullish. Well, let me give you some information about winter, spring, summer, and fall. This is just really compact stuff, so I think you'll enjoy it. Now, if you're wanting to get married, well, I'll tell you what. That is possibly in the wind, but I think also you're going to be pleased to know that you might be getting more money than you expected. And you are going to, because of your hard work, find that you're going to be recognized and appreciated by your peers. Now, when it comes springtime, you've got opportunities that are going to be showing their head. It is going to be up to you. It's going to be up to you to be able to say, hi, here I am. Pay attention. You need to be mindfully present with attentiveness, because if you're wanting to expand your life, career, personal, whatever it is, you're the one that's in charge of this. Now, summer, you've got an opportunity here to really have a very, very nice summer period. Cash should be good and stable for you. And this is a great time. If you're looking at wanting to start a family, it's great for that. And then in the fall, you really want to focus on your wellness. That's very, very important to you. And I'd say focusing on it starting now would be a good idea. It looks like your schedule is going to be a little crazy, but I think you can do a good job with it. So that is the four seasons for Taurus. How about Gemini? Well, you are going to find that winter is a fun period for you. You really are going to enjoy sitting down, putting down your goals for 2011, but you're also going to make a point of reaching out to other people to help you get those goals. And if you're wanting to be one of those working professionals and really step up to a whole new platform, spring is a good time for those of you born under the sign of Gemini. It's also a very good time for you during the spring to do traveling, whether it's for business or pleasure. That is something you should consider. It doesn't have to cost you a whole bunch of money, but you will enjoy yourself. Now, during the summer, because of your diligence, it looks like you're going to have some money to spend if you want to do some traveling or if you're wanting to upgrade your wardrobe or anything else. Don't give up that savings pattern, though. Make sure you have some monies that are delegated to fun and play times. That's a good thing to do. But don't touch that other money that you've put aside. In the fall, you're going to find yourself really anxious to get on with your education. There is so much that you really want to do, and you realize that education is going to be the way for you to be able to achieve what is most meaningful for you. So go for it. Now, last but not least, and I'm looking at this. Yes, I'm watching the clock. Cancer. So I'll give you this one. This is something that you really are learning how to stand up and speak out for yourself. And you're learning how to do this, for those of you born under the sign of Cancer, in a way and manner that's comfortable for you. You don't like to be belligerent and rude, but you're finding that you cannot just sit back and wait for things to happen to you. And if you need to express yourself, you will do it and do it thoughtfully. Also in the spring, you are going to find yourself at a crossroad making decisions about what you really want to give your time and attention to. So this is something that I feel is going to be very, very significant to you. Lots of thinking going on here, and you're going to be relinquishing some of the responsibilities and or what you might have considered burdens that you really didn't want to carry anymore. You're going to be able to lay them down and move on. During the summertime, friendships are very important. You're going to be bringing in a whole new group of people into your environment. New friendships are going to form, and you're going to have more confidence in yourself, feeling good about the changes that are evolving. Now, fall, it's all about relationships. Good working relationships as well as personal relationships. Also, you are going to check in for your own wellness. You're going to make sure that you're doing the things you need to do for yourself. And I think that that is very, very important for you. Well, that's three more signs of the zodiac. We've got a few more to go, so we'll be doing some more of that tomorrow. But I wanted to say, I wanted to be sure that you are aware of something, that no matter who you are, where you are, what you are doing at this time, you're very significant. When I say at the end of my show, you're the master of your fate, you are the captain of your soul. When you take it in the right context, you'll understand that it's what you do with your mind, what you nourish your thinking and your environment with in the way of educational material, being willing to ask questions, being willing to deal with changes, and the investment you make in yourself is so very, very important. That is where you can control things because you control your response to them. This is Donna Sebo. Again, don't forget, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna. I'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com, station number one. Have a fabulous, fabulous day or evening wherever you are, and we'll be here tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.